You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner, committed to helping you become a soul on fire.
Carrie Oberbrunner here. Welcome to Igniting Souls Podcast. This is episode 90. We are 10 away from 100. Can you believe it? We're going to have some massive party on episode 100. But check it out. The title is called We Are the Authorities. Now, why did I title it that way? Well, if you don't know, I'm releasing one chapter a week from my newest book called Elixir Project. However, the title, We Are the Authorities, I'm going to go on a little coaching rant for you and me, all right? Because I need it too. But here's the point. We subjugate ourselves to all kinds of authorities in our life. And many times we should, right? You shouldn't blast down the road at 100 miles an hour. You'll hurt someone. You'll hurt yourself, perhaps. But what happens when certain authorities in our brain are sources that we shouldn't be listening to? Have you ever had that experience where you are listening to an authority and you never gave that authority permission? That authority might be your former stuck self speaking to you. It might be self-limiting beliefs. And why in the world are you listening to that type of authority who's not going to advance you, your cause, your agenda, your mission in the world, and yet many times you subjugate yourself and you say, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to do that, or well, that's not what everybody does, or that's not what my parents trained me to do. And again, sometimes that's good, but many times when we are talking about the topic of risk, of entrepreneurship, of creativity, of your genius zone, these types of voices will actually hold you back. So that's going to be the topic as we start out today, and then I'll integrate it into Elixir Project and share with you why I wrote the chapter that way. And I love what my friend Amy did recently, where she's going to release something pretty cool next weekend on October 22nd. I'll make sure I share it with you. But Amy gets it. Amy understands that Elixir Project is a metaphor. It's a fiction book. It's tons of tie-ins to us personally and professionally. Amy at first was thinking, how in the world am I going to promote or talk about or share a fiction book with my audience? Because Amy's in a pretty unique world. I'll talk more about her next week. And I said, Amy, look at the book one more time and realize that this book is fiction, but it actually addresses real issues and themes that I have seen my clients and myself over the last almost 20 years. Believe it or not, I'm going to be 40 on December 6th. This is what I've seen. And especially on the theme today of authority, you are probably giving away your power to authorities that do not have your best interest in mind, that are not thinking about the God-given dream placed inside you. And therefore, you hold back, you sell yourself short, right? You don't play full out. This is such a pattern. So what do I mean when I talk about authorities for our lives? Well, every day you wake up and you live your life according to a certain set of rules. And some of these rules are great, like brush your teeth. That's a good rule, right? Some of the rules are good, like, you know, you should probably eat today. Again, great rule. Some of these rules are essential for your survival. But other times we get rules that are something like this. Don't rock the boat, right? Did you ever get that rule as a young person? Maybe at your school system, maybe parents, maybe teachers, right? Keep your head down. Don't ask questions. The early bird gets the worm. These are all questions that come from an authority source that might not have your best interest in mind. And what's the cost? What's the cost of someone who says the early bird gets the worm? I'll tell you. And I've talked about this in one of my books. I forget which one. But I've shared about how this little micro story called The Early Bird Gets the Worm actually sabotages your results in today's economy. Are you curious? I know I was until I unwrapped it and I saw, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. This story from this nebulous authority, which is planted inside my brain, maybe I picked it up from a teacher, maybe a TV show as a kid, you know? Maybe Sesame Street taught me that. Who knows? But you get these authorities in your mind and you think that they are fact or that they are the best advice or proven or tested or true, tried and true. And in reality, they are part of a worldview that is full of victims that, you know, has a nugget of wisdom. I mean, let's face it, all authority advice, unless it's crazy stuff like Gestapo or Nazi stuff, most of the time it does have a kernel of truth. The early bird gets the worm. I get it. Get out of bed, kid. You know, get your food. It's a nice natural metaphor that we see out in nature. But here's the point. There's not just one worm, right? I mean, that comes from a scarcity worldview that says there's one worm and you better get out of bed, young man or young woman, and you better go downstairs and get that worm, because if you don't get that worm, somebody else is going to take it from you. And if somebody else takes it from you, they're the winner and you're the loser. Do you hear the energy of my voice? Probably because I heard this, not necessarily me from me. I wasn't this sleep-in guy, and I didn't have parents who basically had to kick me out of bed. I kind of just got out of bed as a kid. I'm honest, you know, I'll be honest with you. Certain things I did well, certain things I didn't do well. That was one thing that I kind of did. I would be bored if I'd be lying in bed all day. So I got out of bed. But I heard that plenty of times in athletics, you know, speaking to other athletes or whatever. Here's the point though. The early bird gets the worm means you are against everybody. Everybody in the world is your competition. And there's one winner and all the rest are losers. And you can imagine in our political race right now, who probably is believing that, right? There's a lot of political candidates who see the world that way, who say that, you know, there's one worm out there, everybody's against you, you better go get it, and if you don't get it, you're a loser. I get it, right? Well, if you go into the online world that way, the online business, or even just business in general, and you start treating everyone as your enemy, everyone is your competition, and the fact that there's only one prize, and you got to do anything and everything to get there first and take yours, and if you don't take yours, you're a loser. That type of business ethic will actually sabotage you 99.9% of the time. Or if you are the 0.001%, everyone will hate you and kick you on the way down, because nobody wants to partner with someone who's greedy, hungry, wants theirs first. That's exactly the opposite of what I teach everything with Igniting Souls. Igniting Souls, you know, I teach selling is serving and marketing is storytelling. And so the best sellers in the world are the best servants in the world. Totally different. And that if you get your tribe what they need first. And if you benefit them, and if you're there to serve and advance their cause, their agenda, again, within reason, I get it. If you have a tribe of 1,000, you can't advance 1,000 agendas. I get it. Please take this all in context. But the point is this, that if you're there for others and that's how you view life and that's how you treat others, they will sense that. And they will then want to help you. Why? Because you helped them. I have a letter right now on my desk from someone. I wasn't even planning on reading this. It's upside down. I'm going to grab it right here. Somebody shot this in the mailbox the other day. And I'm not going to say her name. This is from a female. She also put a little gift and sent it to David, my business partner, and I. And I just want to read it to you. Why? I don't know why. Because it's sitting here. And I'm going to work out with Chet and the guys here in a few minutes after we're done. But I kept this letter. Why? Because I'm a words of affirmation guy. You know, that's, quote, my love language. One of them, right? I do like words. They fill my tank. And that's why it's so, I feel so special when people do a review for the podcast or do a review for Elixir Project on Goodreads. The tribe yesterday did that for me. Yesterday was my 16-year anniversary. I was doing a Facebook Friday for the Elixir Project VIPers, just adding value to them. And the topic came up of Goodreads. And I just found out that Goodreads allows reviews. So you guys know I'm giving out a sneak peek every week, elixirproject.com/free, and people can get chapters. And I just put it out there, you know, hey, if you could, that would really help. It'd help advance the book, the cause. And literally, as I'm going on with the Facebook Friday teaching, people begin posting and saying, I just did mine. Joan said that, or Chris said, you know, I just filled mine out, or Terry Stafford. You know, Chris O'Brien, you know, just fantastic people that began giving me words of affirmation through a book review. If you have a favorite author and you do that, that is oxygen. That is fuel in their tank. Of course you can read a book. Of course you can be blessed and benefited. And most of us are. But rarely do people go back and say, you know what, in one sentence, takes you 30 seconds, maybe 60 seconds, maybe 2 minutes if you have to actually log in. But to write a 2-minute book review for your favorite author is amazing. It's gold. That's why when our tribe releases a book, somebody in our tribe, one of our Author Academy Elite students, I run to the front of the line and knock over things, stop pretty much most of what I'm doing, unless it's, you know, an emergency. And I go review their book. Because I know this is so important, and it's just a small, simple way that if you want to be an outlier in this industry, this is how I got on some big stages with people. I just looked around and said, you know, how can I serve that person? How can I help that person? And as I began doing that, big fish, big influencers began to notice. Because everybody wants to go up to them when they're on stage. Everybody wants a piece of the spotlight. But very few people sit down in their quiet office and write out a couple lines. And I've had big, big people notice this. And they've said to me, like, wow, that was awesome when you were the first in line to help. I even had a dude mail me. I wasn't trying for this. He just mailed me $50 worth of like elite gourmet chocolate with a note on it. And my family loved that chocolate. And that was from a big dude, big, big dude who, you know, didn't need to do that. But it's because I kind of got around his book launch and just helped him out and kind of was an outlier and did some extra special stuff for him. Not because, oh, I knew he would send me $50 in chocolate. I didn't know that. I just thought, here's a guy who over the years has invested in me. And I'll just share who it is, you know, Michael, right? There's an author named Michael. And Michael has invested in me in key times. And I just wanted to give a shout out to him. And so I kept giving during his last book launch. And that has turned into so many more opportunities. Why? Because not many people want to do that. And so here's a letter from this female really quick here. I'll read it. Friday, September 23rd, 7:09 p.m. She even wrote the time. Hey guys, I just wanted to send you a note of thanks for all you have done and continue to do for me. I so very much appreciate your heart for ministry. Check this out. This is really big letter for me because this is what I always wanted, okay, what she talks about. Even though your faith shows in subtle ways for your work, I like the fact that you don't lead with your faith, especially since our world is collided in a time of my life when I needed to see God in unexpected places outside the church. So I think what she's saying is you got a faith, it's obvious, but you don't lead with it. And if you led with it, I would be turned off. But because you don't lead with it, I've seen God show up in unexpected places. That is a huge compliment. I read this thing and I'm like, dang, that's cool. Then she says, you both have ignited my souls and created growth in many ways you will never understand. Thank you so much for living who you are. Okay, that's it. Simple note. She didn't need to send it. I've kept it and I will put it in a folder that fuels me up. Why? Because I get hater emails once in a while. And what I've learned is here's my little secret, never focus on the compliments or the haters. Meaning, I read that, it's awesome, it's still on my desk, I haven't filed it away, I'm going to file it away, I take it in stride. But I'm not going to meditate on it, I'm going to take the good, listen to it, what am I doing that's effective, what is David doing that's effective, and then move on. If I sit there and focus on it, I will become, what's the word? I don't even know. I will become, I don't even know what I'm saying as far as the word goes. But the point is I will begin to shift and turn into something that I shouldn't, which is focusing on the compliments. On the flip side, if you get an email from a hater, same thing. Some people, and I used to, I'd get that hater, the compliments would fall off my back, roll off my back, and then I would focus and fixate on the haters. So I don't fixate on the compliments or the criticism. I read it, I look for the good, I try to integrate the things I can improve on from the good or the bad letters, and then I move on because I have a task and a moonshot in front of me. Ignite 1 million souls by 2020, that's the moonshot. And if I fixate on compliments or fixate on criticism, I will be skewed. Maybe that's the word I was looking for, skewed. Who knows? Here's where I want to wrap up today. I want to wrap up with who is the authority in your life? Meaning, who are the voices that you're listening to on a daily basis? And if those voices are serving you and pushing you toward your potential, your best self, that person that you know you are called to be by God, if that is that voice, fantastic. If it's a voice that says, you know, live average, be mediocre, don't rock the boat, keep your head down, don't ask questions, the early bird gets the worm, money doesn't grow on trees, blah, 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 keep your options open, all this stuff that doesn't push you toward the person or the results that you want, then stop listening to that authority. Replace it. Check it out. Replace it. Don't resist it. Replace it. That's big. If you like that, tweet that out, please. Can you do that? Here's the quote we're going to say. We're going to say, don't resist the false authorities in your life. Replace them. I like that. That's going to be our tweet today. Don't resist the false authorities in your life. Replace them. Because if you resist them, that's the energy. Where your energy goes, your focus flows, right? Or vice versa. Where your energy flows, your focus goes. Which means that if you focus on resisting, you're giving resistance a win. You are basically paving the way for resistance to take up major residence in your life, and that is not serving you. So here's where we're going to roll next, and that is with Elixir Project. Elixir Project, we are in, I believe, chapter 7, I think. I'm going to go there right now and figure this thing out for sure. But I honestly think we're in chapter 7, and I know we're in episode 90, and it's talking about we are the authorities. And yes, absolutely. Chapter 7 releases on October 16th. So if you're listening to this in the past and you're like, what is he even talking about? Go to elixirproject.com/free. You'll see I'm releasing a chapter a week. If you're like, why is he doing that? Because this is part of my launch dream. It's to serialize the novel. It's to release a chapter a week. It's to get VIPers into a free group. If you want to get in that group, go to elixirproject.com/free. I am giving crazy daily content to you. Monday, Missions Monday, Tuesday, Tool Tuesday, Word Wednesday, Thankful Thursday, Facebook Friday, Strategic Saturday, Sneak Peek Sunday. People in that group, that private Facebook group, are getting a massive education on how to launch a book, brand, or business for free. And so if you missed it, or if it's past December 6, 2016, I don't care. Try to jump in that Facebook group and start scrolling down and see what I've been doing for 6 months prior to the book launch to build a momentum, to build a movement, to build a moonshot. I like that. Those three things. Movement, moonshot, momentum. Boom. Look at that. Here's the point. In chapter 7, Sienna, our character, what she does is she gets a little bit awake and alive, and she says, what am I doing? And what's going on? And who in the world is leading the show, driving the ship, you name it? And she turns to McNulty and Kieran, right? And she turns to these guys and she says, look, I can tell my uncle on you. I can get you in trouble. I can get you busted. I can tell the authorities. And they turn to her, mocking her. And they turn to her and say, tell the authorities? Are you serious? And then they say, we are the authorities. Sienna was going to tell, who knows, the FBI. She was going to tell her uncle. She was going to tell whoever she thought was in charge. And what she gets a massive education is the fact that they are the authorities. McNulty, the officer, the TSA impersonating officer, and Kieran, kind of the, quote, scientist, genius dude of the bunch, who are hired and paid by Elixir. They kidnapped Sienna and her friends intentionally, and her friends might be mad. They might be frustrated. They might be upset that there's literally this ring, this smart ring on their finger called Cortex. And Cortex has been monitoring them and their thoughts for the past 6 months unknowingly. And they kind of wake up to all this and they say, we will go to the authorities and tell them and expose you for what you're doing, almost as a threat. And Officer McNulty shuts it down by saying, we are the authorities. Boom. Boom. Seriously, big boom, right? And Sienna has a choice in that moment. She can not believe it. She can fight back. She can jump out of the car. She can run away. Or she can say, you know what? I'm going to figure out the truth. And that's what she does. She's brave, and she is somebody who a lot of people across the world are reading about right now, and they are saying, I like Sienna. I can relate to Sienna. I feel like Sienna many times, and I love that. That's what I wanted to do, create a character that people say, you know what? I've been there. I feel that way. Maybe I felt that way, or maybe I feel that way now. And Sienna could run away. She could jump ship. She could hop out of the vehicle and she could just run from everything that she knows and, quote, escape. Escape to what? More confusion? Sometimes the only way through it is forward. And that's exactly what Sienna realizes. She is not going to be able to solve this puzzle. She is not going to be able to, more importantly, discover the truth if she runs. And I'm going to speak to you right now, pretty straight up. Wherever you are in life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, whatever, all of them, socially, emotionally, all these things, wherever you are right now, you have a choice. You're Sienna, you're in the transport vehicle, you've been hijacked, you've been kidnapped, you've woken up. You are alive and awake, and you are aware that something is not right. Everything is not as it seems. And you have a choice. You can say, give me the Xbox. Give me the reality TV. Give me the porn. Give me the alcohol. Give me the affair. Give me whatever is going, the shopping addiction. Give me whatever is going to distract me from the truth, because I don't want to know the truth. I just want to escape or run away. Or you can do what Sienna does and say, you know what? That just blindsided me. The fact that McNulty and Kieran are in the front seat of a transport vehicle that just kidnapped me, the fact that they just announced to me that they are the authorities, just majorly messed with my mind. But you know what? The only way through is forward. And that's what Sienna does in this chapter, chapter 7. And that's how we're going to end it. And that's how I need you to understand that your life is no different.